Have you ever seen a glacier?
There's something special about them, and on today's program, we'll get a closer look at the glory of glaciers and how these wonders of nature can help us learn more about God.
Don't miss a moment. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. We are just 2 days away from the end of the year.
Wow, how's the 3-day countdown challenge going for you so far? Did you do something special for someone yesterday? You still have 2 more days to finish the year strong, make cookies for someone, or send a card with a handwritten note. Bless someone else today and show them your love.
You know, God wants the love of Jesus to fill our hearts and extend far and near. You know, our program is designed to help you feel how much God wants to be your personal friend and lead you to an abundant life. You know, we can't wait to get started here today. We have many good things to share with you. So let's begin by taking a look back at what happened on this day in history.
On the evening of December 29, 1940, London suffered its most devastating air raid when Germans firebombed the city. Hundreds of fires caused by the exploding bombs engulfed areas of London, but firefighters showed a valiant indifference to the bombs falling around them and saved much of the city from destruction. The next day, a newspaper photo of St. Paul's Cathedral standing undamaged amid the smoke and the flames seemed to symbolize the capital's unconquerable spirit during the Battle of Britain.
Friend, have you ever felt completely engulfed by the flames of life? You know, the hardships seem unbearable and the gloom seems unending. You know, as the firefighters bravely fought, as indifferent to the flames around them, so too, God invites us to walk through the flames of life. Not alone, of course. He promised to walk with you. Isaiah chapter 43, verses 1 and 2 says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. Take hold of his hand today."
Amen. In the polar places of our planet, there is a natural wonder that contains massive potential. Glacial ice is the largest reservoir of fresh water on Earth. Scientists say that if all the glaciers melt, the ocean level would rise over 200 feet, thus flooding all the coastal cities of the world. In the cold, hard, fractured ice, there is potent and profound world-changing potential. And the same is true for all of us. Listen today as Taj Pakleb helps us ponder this amazing truth.
I've always had a fascination with snow. Growing up on a tropical island, snow isn't something we ever had to deal with. So when I saw it for the first time when I was a kid, I was so excited, to say the least. I think that every islander can relate with that. But being able to see glaciers here in Iceland is a whole different level. Only in the polar places of our planet can you see these massive bodies of ice carving through mountain canyons. It is a spectacular sight to behold. And the creation of these blue beauties is just as amazing. Glaciers are formed on high land elevations. As snow falls, it either melts or evaporates. But when snow falls at a rate that exceeds its melting point, it turns into compacted ice. As more and more snow continues to fall, it crushes and compresses individual snowflakes, squeezing the air from the snow, thus creating glacial ice. When this process happens over years and even centuries, glaciers are formed. Glaciers appear blue for the same reason that the ocean appears blue. Water molecules absorb other colors more efficiently than blue. The blueness of the glaciers is also due to a lack of air bubbles in the ice. Air bubbles, which give a white color to the ice, are squeezed out by pressure, thus increasing the density of the ice and the bluish tone. And when the mass of snow and ice is sufficiently thick, gravity and pressure causes the ice mass to slide down the slippery slope. As it consistently moves under its own weight, it scrapes the terrain it rests upon, carving out even bigger canyons. The top 160 feet of the glacier is called the fracture zone. As the glacier moves over irregular terrain, cracks called crevasses develop in the fracture zone. Crevasses form when two rigid sections of a glacier move at different speeds and directions. When this happens, sheer force causes them to break apart, opening a crevasse, some of which can be up to 1,000 feet or even deeper. These crevasses make hiking on glaciers exceedingly dangerous. Beautiful, but dangerous. When the glacier meets the sea level, it cracks and falls, creating massive and majestic icebergs which cover the polar oceans. Glacial ice is the largest reservoir of fresh water on Earth. Scientists say that if all the glaciers melt, the ocean would rise over 200 feet. That means that all the coastal cities would be flooded. Now, it's amazing to think that these massive blocks of ice located here in the polar regions have enough water to affect the whole world. And as I thought about that, it reminded me of many of the churches of the world today. You see, many churches are kind of like these glaciers. Hard, cold, fractured, breaking apart, and even dangerous. Beautiful on the outside, but dangerous on the inside. Like the glaciers, not everything that looks beautiful is safe. Not everything that's called Christian is Christ-like. And not everything that comes from a pulpit is true. And yet many of these same churches have the God-given potential to flood the whole world with the water of life and a message of hope. And only as we allow the Lord to melt our cold, hardened hearts with the sun of righteousness and the light of truth, will we then be able to make a worldwide impact with a flood of living water. Jesus said, "He that believes on me, as the scriptures have said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And so today, I encourage you to recognize the God-given potential that lies within you, to realize that just like the glory of these glaciers, you have the power to make a difference that will change the world forever. That through your life, God wants to send a flood of hope in a world that's dying in spiritual drought.
If you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more. And don't forget, we have a YouTube channel. You can search for us and keep up with us there as well.
Coming up, we will have music by Hope Harmonies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This beautiful verse in Psalms 139 fills us with hope.
And Hope Harmonies makes its message into a beautiful medley as they sing, "Search me, O God."
I am here, right by your side. it's true.
Friends, don't go anywhere. When we return, Faith for Today is bringing us a powerful devotional thought. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope, friends. Thank you for being with us this morning.
It's now time for our devotional thought. This morning, it will be brought to us by Faith for Today.
Jesus did not just stay anywhere. There was a particular house he would stay in whenever he was in Bethany. The house was the house of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They had created a habitat for the Lord, a hangout where he was the most comfortable. And yet, while he was away, a problem arose in the house. Now, it's one thing to have a problem in China or South America or Africa or some other remote or disconnected place that you may hear about on the news. And we pray and we're concerned about it, but we continue to watch TV and cook our dinner. But it's another thing to have a problem that comes right into your own country. Now that gets your attention. If it's not in an area that's close by, you're concerned, but you continue to cook your dinner. What about when it happens in your own city, a little closer to home? You can always thank God that it happened, but in another part of town. But it's really a problem when the trouble is in your house, because you can't run from yourself in your house. periodically there are situations that will arise right in your house. And by your house, you'll see that I'm talking about more than just your address. I'm talking about all the things that pertain to you that might find themselves in a problem. Even though you are a Christian and you love the Lord and He dwells among you, you can still have a problem. Now, I don't know about you, but I really need to hear that because most church people act as if everything is wonderful all the time. So I'm so glad that the Bible gives me a fuller testimony. But in our text today, in John chapter 11, verses 1 through 7, it tells us, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one you love is sick.' When he heard this, Jesus said, 'This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it.' Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, 'Let us go back to Judea.'" This seems to be quite a contradiction, doesn't it? You'd think that if Jesus loved somebody, he would drop everything and run to help them out. But this scripture plainly says that he loved them, so he took his time getting to them. He purposefully took longer to get to them. Jesus gets word of their desperate need, and he tells his disciples, "Hey, let's go goof off. I'm needed over there, but because I love them, I'm going to stay back over here." Now, does that make any sense to you? Well, not on a human level, but Jesus was on a whole different level. Jesus seems to be goofing off and withdrawing from the scene for the express purpose of glorifying God on high. You see, we always testify about when we prayed and the Lord answered. And I don't need you to tell me what I need to do when He answers. I can figure out how to react when God answers me. But what I really need some help with, and possibly you do as well, is what do we do when we've called Him and He does not answer? He does not answer. Now, I wouldn't mind Him not answering if it were not an emergency, but this is an emergency. Have you ever had a crisis and God didn't answer? "I was counting on you for this, Jesus. Where are you? My home is in trouble. My finances are shot. My bills are past due. Where are you, Jesus? My marriage is failing. My kids are on drugs. Where are you, Jesus?" Now, as a pastor, I know how people get when they're sick and they send for you. "You had better come visit or send somebody who looks a whole lot like you." People will stop coming to church because you didn't receive a vision letting them know that they had gotten sick and have the flu. This was an emergency, and Pastor Jesus didn't come. He did not make it to the house. He didn't even make it to the funeral. He didn't even make the graveside service. By the time Jesus got there, Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And here walks in Jesus. Now, Mary has a serious attitude. She was ready for him when he walked in that door. He didn't get any perfume or ointment or no drying of his feet this time. She said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Lord, if you had been here, my marriage would have been spared. I wouldn't have lost that job. My kids would have listened to me. My bills would have been paid. I sent for you and I thought you were going to be here." Have you ever gone through something with the Lord where you just couldn't figure him out? "What in the world are you doing, Lord? You missed your appointment." In essence, when Mary asks, "Why didn't you come when you heard?" Jesus said, "I loved you enough to be late. I didn't do what you thought I was going to do when you thought I was going to do it because of how much I love you." What we're looking at here is the kind of love that's willing to be criticized to accomplish its purpose, the kind of love that's willing to be controversial to work an expected end. He says, "I loved you too much to do what you wanted when you asked me to do it." It was love. No other person slowing him down. It was love that told him to wait. Yeah, that didn't satisfy Mary either. She's hopping mad, and Martha does the same thing. If you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus says something he would say to someone watching this program today. He says, show me where you laid him. Show me where you gave up. Show me where you stopped believing that I could do the impossible. Show me where you got tired. Who talked you into not trusting me? Show me where you decided I wasn't going to do it. The common Jewish belief was that once 4 days had passed, the person's spirit no longer hovered around the body, and there was no hope for resurrection after that. They brought him to the spot, and they rolled the stone away. And when they rolled the stone away, that's when the revelation began. Listen to what Jesus says. He prays for just a moment. All the crowd has gathered, the scribes, the Sadducees, the Pharisees. He doesn't go in. He just stands outside of the mess and speaks into the mess. And he says, Father, I know that you hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. You catch that? He says, I'm going to call Lazarus out loud. This should make your heart leap because it means that if he wanted to, he could have thought Lazarus out of the grave. But because of all the doubters, he said, I'm going to call him out. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. And so Lazarus came leaping out of the tomb. This is what I want you to understand today. God is setting you up for a heart resurrection. If he had done it any sooner, the people around you would have thought it was you. But he waited until the people around you thought it was impossible. So don't give up. Don't despair. Take Jesus right to the spot. Take him to that spot in your life where you gave up. Take him to the spot that you have covered it up, capped it over, and let God resurrect your heart today. And in that way, you can wake up with hope, afresh and anew today.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Roy.
And thank you for watching Wake Up With Hope. If you would like to learn more about our program, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And don't forget to join us tomorrow morning. We're going to be back here with news from Ronnie Mills, and Pastor Mark Finley will share a devotional thought. Plus, we'll have an interesting talk on Chinaman's hat. Join us.
And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides. Again, that's hope.study. And of course, we can't leave without our daily Bible promise. Today's Bible promise comes from Exodus chapter 14, verse 14.
And it says, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still."
You know, friends, no matter the storms that assail you, the difficulties or circumstances that surround you, hold fast to the promise of God. He will fight for you. Stand still and trust Him.
Amen. We enjoyed spending time with you this morning, and we can't wait to see you, our viewers, tomorrow.
Let's pray together. Dear Father in heaven, what a day has been so far. We have been filled with so many blessings, musical blessings and study of your word, inspiration, practical information, Lord, that we pray you will give us wisdom and courage to apply in our lives so that it will make a difference in us. We pray, Lord, that you would now guide our steps as we go right into a new day, whether it's at work or school or wherever it may be. May we have that sweet assurance that you're right there by our side. And we thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.